A lot of us, well, all of us want to get past COVID. We're surely tired of it. But this country is still seeing more than 100,000 new infections every day. And you may be surprised to hear just how many people have persistent symptoms of long COVID. New studies suggest what some call another epidemic in the wake of epidemic. Joining us now is Mady Hornig. She's professor of epidemiology at Columbia University's School of Public Health. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are not just a researcher in this field, but someone who is experiencing long COVID. Is there a clean definition of what long COVID is?
Well, currently we have a flexible definition that is anchored by a timeline. So 4 weeks or more of persistent symptoms after a SARS-CoV-2 infection, which may not have been even symptomatic. And then a constellation of many different types of conditions. And there are people who have 26 or 28 months or more of illness, including me.
Yeah. Well, when you say constellation, I mean, just briefly, what categories are on this list? I've heard about breathing and cognitive memory issues, respiratory symptoms, kidneys, diabetes, mental health. I mean, it almost seems like whatever I can imagine might be on this list.
You know, every organ system appears to potentially be affected, some more commonly than others. But, you know, a recent study by the Centers for Disease Control was using 26 different conditions comprising long COVID. There was a new diagnosis that was put into the medical diagnostic codes back in October of 2021, which is called post-COVID conditions. It may affect the thyroid gland, it may affect the adrenal glands, it may affect very prominently the gastrointestinal tract, cardiovascular functions, as well as pulmonary breathing reflexes, and there's skin manifestations, rashes, and there's neurodegenerative markers put in the category of dementias. Yeah. You know, scary.
Well, let me ask you about how prevalent long COVID may be, as you describe it. There's more billing codes for this, more ways to track it and get data on it. A recent study suggests a fourth of the people infected in the world may end up getting long COVID. Does that sync up with what you're seeing?
Yes. The big concern is that there may be a huge underestimate of the true rate of long COVID. You know, and doctors also often won't make a diagnosis that they don't understand fully, right? Because none of us really do. We're learning, but we need to know more. And there's a huge amount of disbelief. Individuals who are asymptomatic, for example, can still get long COVID.
As well as a number of people who have had mild COVID as well from another study. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily mean you had a serious hospitalized case to get long COVID.
Exactly. And in fact, you know, there's a recent study by the Fair Health Group that indicated the majority of individuals, more than three quarters, had not been hospitalized and yet ended up with this diagnosis. But we know that there are certain subsets that are likely to be underdiagnosed in particular.
What about children? I mean, how susceptible are children to getting long COVID, and how easy or hard is it to recognize it?
Children appear to be under-recognized. And some of them may not have been symptomatic and their issues may have been overlooked. You know, if a child is having attention and memory problems, who's going to pick up on that, right? How do they even know what their norm is? They're kids, and this could affect them for a lifetime. Their teachers and their parents perhaps may just say, oh, well, I guess they, you know, they're not going to be our star student. You know, or they're not going to be our star athlete because they have pain and musculoskeletal issues. And elderly also, data that say that 40% of long COVID are in the 65 and older group, you know, we still think that's an underdiagnosis.
Let me ask you to switch hats here from the researcher to the patient. I mean, you've been describing how challenging it is to get a diagnosis, to recognize what may be long COVID. What have your symptoms been, and how easy or hard was it to get diagnosed?
It was very difficult to get diagnosed. I didn't even really put together the earliest signs and symptoms of my illness as being part of COVID-19 until many, many, many months later.
Briefly, what is the catalog, the list of symptoms you have now?
Let me give you a financial status. So just from April of 2020 through December of 2021,
oh, no.
I had $262,000 of medical billings. Astounding, right?
Yeah.
And that included zero hospitalizations. I had the swelling in the leg. I had the COVID toes. I had the tachycardia, sudden onset of a very rapid heartbeat, just sitting. I had crisis level hypertension. And my doctors were certain that the tachycardia and the crisis level hypertension were just sort of from the worried whiner, you know, right? That's how that women, you know, it must be stress. Of course I have stress, but I've had stress before I got COVID-19. But what I have that's new is a gastrointestinal issue, and we don't really know whether this is for certain related, and it's severe. I was hospitalized about 3 weeks ago. I've sort of been mostly bedridden, you know, throughout this this period. But we do need to have ways to test individuals at longer periods of time from the onset of their illness so that we can actually make the connection.
My goodness, this is a story that is just starting, right? The challenges of data collection, the challenges of testing and diagnosing this, the challenges of patients getting taken seriously by their physicians, the challenges for physicians trying to recognize all this. More to come, more to talk to you about on another day. Mady Hornig is a physician, scientist, and professor of epidemiology at Columbia University. Dr. Hornig, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's great speaking with you.